Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're pleased that you've chosen to download the second podcast dedicated to what SUEZ is seeing in the COVID-19 crisis. The format is the same as last time. Mathilde and I will respond to nine frequently asked questions, which reflect the discussions that we've had with our shareholders, investors, and analysts over the last few weeks. Let me remind you of the rationale for this series of podcasts. First, we receive many questions and want to consolidate the answers that we've given so that all our stakeholders can access them in this busy period. This enables us to comment on those questions in a unified manner. We hope, give you useful information as to how the COVID crisis is evolving for our industry overall, based on information which is already public or available, but hopefully in a form which is easier to use. We will continue to use this format regularly to maintain our contact with all investors and analysts, and we want to do this in a spirit of openness and clear communication in these complicated times. Nonetheless, I would stress that we will not give any material price-sensitive information. That, if and when we have it, will of course be given in the usual way. Please bear this in mind. We encourage you not to try to model our business based on some of the specific comments we give on the call. Last, there's nothing in what we will say that should be taken as guidance in any way. Mathilde, over to you.
Okay. Hello, everyone. With Julien's comments in mind, let's move on now to questions. First for you, Julien. Can you tell us about the latest trends you're seeing in your business, and do you confirm April was a low point?
Thank you. As we said during the Q1 call on April 30, data from the field showed during the month of April that we were seeing stability, and towards the end of April that we were seeing some signs of improvement in some of our core markets. We need to remain cautious. Our experience of China, which was the first area to be impacted and the first to start recovering, shows that you can have some swings from one week to the next. It also shows that different countries, industries, and clients have been affected at different times and with different magnitudes. The manner of containment measures, and as we go forward, exit from containment measures, will also differ from one country to another. All of these things will have an impact on the recovery as they've had an impact on the slowdown. We continue to plan our business on the basis of a recovery that might not be linear or smooth, but will over time be progressive. Turning to the most recent news, looking first at the most impacted business lines in Europe, so recycling and recovery in France notably, and hazardous waste. We confirm the signs of a pickup in volumes since the end of April. At the low point, we were down 60%-65%, and we are 10 points to 15 points better than that over the last few days. We continue to see resilience in Germany. We see more resilience in the Netherlands. The U.K. is probably the exception where we don't see any change in the stability of volumes from two or three weeks ago. For those markets, we confirm that April seems to have been a low point. For water, no major trend changes in Spain. Stability, however. In France, a slight improvement. Again, we would confirm that April seems to have been the low point. There are other areas of our business, like Australia, which were just starting to be impacted by COVID and by containment at the end of April, and some others like water in the U.S. with almost no impact, where weather conditions, for example, are more important. Lastly, for WTS, we continue to be very vigilant but see the business as having been resilient. We would expect first and foremost to see a slowdown in order intake. Mathilde, if I can give one to you, please. Do you think that our clients will be less focused on environmental topics in the rebound and exit now that they have to focus on the economic recovery of their business?
So the crisis we're going through has led to a shift in mindsets. We see that even the most skeptical people are now convinced that environment, biodiversity, climate, economy, health and quality of life are inevitably linked. So focus on environmental topics is bigger, and economic recovery will therefore depend on the ability of all players in our society to design and deploy sustainable solutions that take into consideration the interdependence of these global issues. These themes are at the heart of our value proposition, bringing concrete answers and solutions for our clients thanks to a range of offerings with a positive impact on health, quality of life, climate, and the natural capital of the planet. Now to you, Julien. How does the COVID-19 situation impact your strategic plan, Shaping Suez 2030?
So first and foremost, the strategic plan is intended to improve our positioning in our markets, focus us on where we want to invest and on where we believe we have value added, strengthen our efficiency and strengthen our agility. When it comes to the impact of the current context on our strategy, we would say first and foremost that it provides an opportunity to accelerate our transformation, to go faster with our performance plan, for instance, to bring forward to 2020 some of the disposals that we'd originally planned for 2021. We've seen during this complicated period a tremendous capacity of our teams to mobilize, to adapt their ways of working, and to execute and deliver reliability. And that means we believe that our transformation is well underpinned by strong operational performance and can be viewed as well underway. Even if the current environment is complex, we're confident in what our strategic plan will bring for the company, and we see no reason to change the main strategic priorities we have. We believe our resilience will materialize to the benefit of our shareholders and all our stakeholders over time. And so we're focused on execution first and foremost. So with that, Mathilde, there's a focus on WTS. When do you think you might start seeing some impacts on our WTS business?
Well, as commented earlier, WTS has been quite resilient up to now. We've also seen some improvement, in particular in the chemical activity in the US, which returned to growth in Q1. Diversity of WTS business and the critical nature of many of its services are also strong foundation for resilience. We have close to 20% of the business done with municipal clients, who continue to need our technologies, products, and chemicals to run their potable and wastewater plants and networks. Food and bev, pharmaceutical, and chemical industries altogether represent more than 20% of WTS sales, and they are a priority sector to develop within our Shaping Suez 2030 strategy. And we also have 7% of revenue done with clients from environmental services, which will be critical to the economic recovery. In Q1, overall order intake still looked good. Yet, within that, we can see that project orders are slowing while services orders remained resilient. We certainly expect the business to fluctuate with the economic activity to an extent, possibly starting in Q2. On the other hand, we can expect more requirements on water quality after this health crisis, and therefore, more demand for WTS products and services. We remain focused on navigating this complex environment and continue to work on improving the performance of WTS business. Our strategic plan emphasizes selectivity and operational performance improvement, which aims with an agile management of our business to create value despite the volatile market conditions. Next one for you, Julien. Should we extrapolate from the 2 weeks impact in Q1, the monthly impact from COVID-19?
So thank you. We said the impact on our EBIT in Q1 from COVID was between 50 and 70 million euros from volume impacts, some impacts from commodities with mitigation. when we look at March and April, they combine three highly negative elements: lockdown restrictions, substantial and abrupt drops in volumes as a result, and a progression at different times through different markets. Against that, the progressive recovery in China and the progressive ramp up of mitigation actions across our business. So with that in mind, the March-April period is likely to be the low point for recurring negative volume impacts on our business. And as we mentioned earlier, the trends at the end of April and into May seem to confirm that across large parts of our business. In coming months, we can expect to see a mix of the current situation with some progressive recovery. As we said earlier, that's what we've seen in some of our key markets. The beginnings of impacts on exit and rebound, and further work on our side on the mitigation. We will also assume that we see week-to-week changes in the business, which could be volatile, but an overall progression and improvement. Last, of course, there do remain risks of a reversal in restarts and other risks, and the trajectory of each of our businesses will be different depending on the speed with which the initial impacts were and are felt. Matilda, the next question moves away from business today and on to the balance sheet. Could you please give us an update on debt and liquidity?
Of course. So we've issued some 1.6 billion euro long-term bonds in April and May at lower rates, which also helps reducing financial costs. As we mentioned on our press release end of March, we're reducing CapEx by 15%, which means around 1.2 billion euro CapEx compared to 1.4 in 2019. Also, the solidarity measures we implemented led us to cut dividend by approximately a third. We would then have close to 315 million cash out from dividend versus 450 million in 2019. Then, in terms of working capital requirements, as you know, this was already a point of attention before the crisis triggered by the COVID outbreak. As part of Shaping Suez 2030, we had launched actions on trade receivables management with aim to improve cash flow generation thanks to lower working capital requirements. Teams have worked hard, and we've seen some good progress in Q1 as receivables were down, in particular in WTS and R&R. We continue our work to improve these aspects. The current context implies to work even harder and be particularly vigilant on the management of our sales outstanding, because in difficult economic times, one can obviously expect some increase in payment delays and payment default from our commercial and industrial clients. No particular sign at this stage, but we remain vigilant and continue to work on optimizing our trade receivables management as part of our objective to improve cash flow generation. Now to you, Julien. Considering the impact of the crisis on your EBITDA, will you have to consider a wider asset disposals program to protect your gearing?
So we thank those who've asked us this question. The answer is that's not something that we feel it necessary to consider. The level of 2.8 to 3 times EBITDA that we set out as a framework for our strategic plan is there to drive discipline in the business, first of all, to show the business how much capital that we have to invest, to signal what also we think is an appropriate level of financial flexibility. In putting the strategic plan together, we knew that the passage to get from where we were to the 2.8 to 3 times EBITDA would not necessarily be linear. For example, we would need to restructure, there might be acquisition opportunities, and we would need to dispose. The quality of our business, its diversification, and its resilience in particular, would enable us to work with high level of gearing if needed. And as you've heard, we've very high levels of liquidity that we've reinforced. So as we commented on our first podcast and again on the Q1, the list of assets that we want to dispose is driven by strategic considerations. It hasn't changed, and we see no reason today to change it. We don't feel under any pressure in that sense. We will continue to execute as planned. We've commented previously on the progress on the disposal program, and we've had questions also on how that is going. I would just reiterate what we've said in previous podcasts and on the Q1. The disposal program is advancing with the speed we hoped, with the rhythm we've hoped, and there have been no changes to that. Mathilde, next question is on dividends. Could you comment on dividend policy, particularly after the cut in the 2020 dividend just paid?
Yes, of course. So the dividend this year was adjusted because we felt that associating our shareholders to our solidarity measures was the right thing to do. Our Shaping Suez 2030 strategic plan is about increasing our recurring free cash flow and net income to support a progressive policy on our dividend. The direction and the trajectory remain the same. Next question for you, Julian. Can you elaborate about your plan to rebound after the crisis?
So we started thinking about rebound quite early in this process, not least as we were working hard on exit and rebound in China. The group has been mobilized very strongly to ensure continuity of service across all of our operations. 86% of our teams are active, and we see them running the business with great commitment, great agility, great determination, and great success. As soon as the different population containment measures began, we did react, we think, quite quickly to engage strong measures to mitigate the impact of the crisis on our revenue and our profitability. And this global mobilization was around priorities of first, people, and keeping our people safe. Secondly, keeping continuity of service. And in both of those, our people in particular have been safe, and the continuity of service has been excellent. Next, protecting our financials, and we've covered that in terms of liquidity and debt today. When we think about exit and rebound, we see that the actions of our local managers to variabilize and reduce our costs have been substantial. We see teams being creative and going further in terms of transformation of how they work, taking actions quicker and being more ambitious than we initially expected. Facing an unprecedented situation, our teams have worked differently. They've discovered new and efficient ways of working in the current context. Therefore, as we exit containment progressively in our geographies, we intend to restart our business, learning the lessons from the containment, and restart our business differently, keeping those new and more efficient work organizations as far as we possibly can. When we look at our customers, we see that some of them will also evolve and change based on what they've experienced. Right from the start, we have our commercial teams tracking the evolutions in the market, anticipate and identifying both areas where our clients need us more in some sectors and where our clients need us differently. Finally, in addition to operations and business opportunities, we are also anticipating how the social and political and economic environment might be post-exit and into rebound. There'll be some areas where, again, our ways of doing business prior to COVID-19 will no longer be valid. for example, in our ability to cross borders. Some changes are likely to persist in the long run. And in that context, we believe that one area which will remain front and center of social attention will be the environment emergency. And we expect actions that continue to address the environment emergency to be at the front and center of political and social actions. And we remain certain that Suez has a very strong and central role to play in promoting that. So in short, we see opportunities in exit and rebound to work differently. We see opportunities to do more with our clients, and we see our strategic plan and the role that Suez can play in the environmental and climate emergency to be reinforced by what we see today in the crisis. And it's those things that are guiding our preparation for exit and rebound. Thank you. Mathilde, I think we're going to close.
Yes, so thank you for downloading this. We hope it is useful, helpful. I remind you again to be attentive to the introduction and the cautionary comments we made at the outset. We will make another one available in due course and are at your disposal in the meantime for any questions. With that being said, thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you very much and keep safe and talk to you soon.